So I want to start off today by asking you a question. How many of you have ever, how many of you have a New Year's resolution? I mean, no, New Year's coming up. How many have a resolution? You have a New Year's resolution. How many have a New Year's resolution? Raise your hand if you already have it. You already, okay. How many know that's a lot of hands not up? Now, let me just say this. I think that maybe one of the reasons why your hands are not up is because of this. Because, let me ask you another question. Can I ask you another question? How many ever come up with a New Year's resolution and within less than a month, you've already broken that New Year's resolution? You know what I mean? How many know the time to go to the gym? It's not January, amen? Go in February, there'll be nobody there anyway, and you'll be good, right? You know what? How many can say, Pastor, I've broken my New Year's resolution before lunchtime sometimes. You know what? You know, I was at home, okay, you know, and my wife came home with a pizza from Pizza Hut, and I just, you know what, or from Stuffed Pizza, and I just blew it. You know what I mean? Right? So what we tend to do is we become defensive. Does that make sense? We get to the place where we're like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's so stupid. I don't even do it anyway, and blah, 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 blah. And I understand that. Let's define a couple of words first as we get started. What does resolute mean? Resolute, it's an adjective, and it means admirably purposeful. Somebody say purposeful. Purposeful. Determined and unwavering. Somebody say unwavering. Resolute's the adjective. Resolution is the noun. And it means a firm decision to do or not to do something. Many of you have made a firm decision. You are not going to eat so much sweets. You are not going to sleep in. You've made a determination. You're going to get up half an hour early. You're going to spend some time in the Word. You're going to spend some time in prayer. That's what you're going to do. You know what? You're not. You're going to get out of debt. Wow, that's a good one. I'm going to get completely at credit cards. I'm going to, you know what I mean? And then you go to the mall and you're like, I had to have these, you know what, whatever. Almost said earrings, you know what I mean? I have to have these, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, like you go to Fry's. Oh, man, I can't, but Pastor, it was a sale. All right. Can I point out this? The sale's no sale if you're paying 15% on credit cards and it takes you a year and a half to pay it off. Didn't get a bunch of amens on that one, did I? Ooh, hallelujah. So all I'm saying is what happens is we get gun shy. We start to act defensively and we start to say, I tell you what, I would rather not make, I think it's more godly not to make a decision. Don't anybody say amen to this. I think it's more godly not to make a decision to make a decision to break it. Well, I would say this. I would say, don't allow the past to dictate to you what's going to happen in the future. Amen. Amen. Let's all say amen. Amen. Don't allow the past to dictate what the future is going to behold. Amen. Amen. See, don't let your yesterdays convince you that you can't do something different. Amen. And I want us to take the time, just a little bit of time today, to dream. Somebody say dream. See, God has given us our imaginations, and our imaginations were given to us that we could use those imaginations to envision something different than what it is. That's why God gave you an imagination. This South Sanctuary was not the South Sanctuary. This was a founder's hall. This was a fellowship hall. It didn't look like anything like this. You know what? If we all got up, this is a true story, if we all got up and went over to the North Sanctuary, we could maybe fit in there, but we would all be, there would be no empty chairs. How many know that that's absolutely true? And You say, Pastor, why would that be? That would be better to be fuller. No, no, no. How in the world is somebody else going to come if everybody's sitting in their chairs? You know, what do you want me to say? Oh, you know what? We're a loving church. Just sit on top of each other. You know what I mean? I mean, no, that wouldn't work. But God had a vision, and the vision was to tear down this wall, to tear off this roof, to reconform the air conditioning on these soffit boxes, to have a corner stage where we could all be close. You know, how many know in the North Sanctuary, if you were in the back seat, you were in the back seat? But how many know in this one, if you're in the back seat, you're not that far, amen? I can spit on all of you, amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know, it's a good thing. We're all closer, and it's just the whole setting is better. The sound is better. Everything's better. You know what? But in order to do that, you know what? I had to have the fortitude. I had to have the willingness to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be, you know what, whatever. I had to have the vision to dream. And what I'm saying is, could you just take this moment to dream with me a little bit? Yeah, but, you know, and we get all negative. Yeah, but, you know what? Yeah, but my background, and this always happens. And my, you know, my family just, you know what? We're just kind of, we've always, you know, everybody's overweight. My uncle's overweight. My grandpa's overweight. You know what I mean? My aunt's overweight. You know, we just eat one chip, and boom, it goes right to their thighs. That's how it is in our family. You know what I mean? Could we just take the time to just like, you know what, break away from the negativity, break away from the I can't, and recognize what God says. God says with him all things are possible. Could you just do that? You know what, but Pastor, I always date idiot guys. That's how I do. You know what, all my sisters, we just like idiots. You know what I mean? Well, hey, maybe today's the first day of the rest of your life. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. Amen. You know what? You can't marry the prince if you're dating the frog. Ooh, didn't get a bunch of amens on that one. Amen. Ladies, wait for your prince. Wait for your prince. You can't marry your prince if you're dating the frog. Amen. And that's not just for you ladies. Amen. Yeah, but she asked me out and she likes me. Well, so what? Amen. She's not your princess. Amen. Wait for your princess. Amen? Amen. So all I'm saying is, can we dream a little bit? Because if we would dream a little bit, what's your dream? What here? Let me ask you like this. What happened in 2018 that you'd like not to happen in 2019? What would you like to fix? What would you like to get better? You know what? Would you like to lose some weight? Would you like to lose some weight? Would you like to get out of credit card debt? Here's this one. Would you like to get closer to Jesus? Amen. Amen. Some of you know what? You'd like to read your Bible. When do we read our Bible at this church? Every day. You know what I mean? And yet I know that with this many people, you know what? I doubt that everybody read their Bible every day last year. But you know what? Where would your life be if you just read? I'm not talking about, ooh, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to read our whole Bible in a year. Hallelujah. You know what happened when I read my whole Bible in a year? You know what? I fell asleep all the time. You know what I mean? And you know what? I'm convinced. I mean, if that's your goal, that can be your goal. And that's fine. But you know what? How about this? How about let's just read a chapter every day? Amen. I'd rather you read, you know what, the same chapter three times a day and really understand that chapter than you read eight chapters that you don't understand. Well, look at your neighbor and say, well, that's deep. That's good. Yep, yep. So, you know what? My first point is this. It's a question. What would you like to change in 2019? And do this. Take the negativity off. Don't let anybody tell you can't. Don't allow your past to dictate what's going to happen in the future. Just for a minute, will you dream with me? Will somebody allow themselves to say, you know what? here's what I'd like. I'm not saying, listen, we'll get to the practicalities about it in a minute, but just right now, can you just allow yourself to dream? Because let me tell you what, if you don't dream, you ain't going to get there. I said, if you won't allow yourself to dream, if you have the mentality of, you know what, I won't because I don't want to get disappointed. I don't, because it's probably not going to happen. Guess what? It's not going to happen. Because let me tell you what, your actions will follow your dreams. Somebody write that down. Your actions will follow your dreams. Now listen, in order to accomplish something, your behavior has to change. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching way better than you're saying amen. I said your behavior has to change. Amen. How many know stuff follows your behavior? Amen. Hallelujah. So your behavior has to change, but your behavior won't change until you start to be able to vision something that is different. Somebody say different. Different. What would you like to be different than 2000? Would you like your family to be closer? Would you like to have a better relationship with your husband? Would you like to have a better relationship with your wife? Would you like to have a better relationship with your kids or your grandkids? What is it? I don't know what it is, and I'm not here to tell you your dreams. I'm just here as a pastor saying, hey, dream on. Amen. Should I start singing it? Okay, I won't sing it. Okay, trust me. Trust me, I won't. But start to dream, guys. So, Pastor, I don't think that's biblical. Contraire, my good friend. Look what the Bible says. Let me just point out to you what the Word says. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, here's what's going to happen. You don't have vision, you're going to die. And your dream's going to die. And the thing that God has called you to do is going to die. Can I tell you what? You're called to do something, to do great things. You're called to make a difference in your family. You're called to, you know what, to make a difference, to be an example to your kids. You're called to do something. And you can't do it if you don't have a vision to do. Here's what happens. Here, let me give you another version of the same passage. This is from the NIV. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What does that mean? Here's what it means. If revelation, the vision, the revelation God has given you to say, you are to look like this. It's not what you are, it's what he wants you to be. Does that make sense? Once you start to have the vision of what you are supposed to be, guess what? You start to restrain yourself. Ooh, that's not a fun word, is it? No, it is a fun word. It's the lack of restraint that puts you in your mess. Oh, you had missed a good chance of saying amen. It's our lack of restraint that gets us in our mess. And notice the Bible ties the vision with the restraint. Why? Because when you start to see the vision, when you start to see yourself, really, look, imagine, again, dream with me. Imagine what would you do if now you didn't have $400 a month that you had to write to the Visa. $400 a month to Visa, you know what, $300 a month to MasterCard, you know what, $800 a month to Target. You know what I mean? And you got those bills, and let me tell you why you have these reoccurring. Let me talk about, oh my goodness. Somebody's still glad they came today. Yeah. You know what? The reason why you have this debt is because you went in and you saw something at Target that you, no, you wanted and you had to have it. And Target wasn't just nice. You think Target was nice? You think they were like, oh, we just, you know what? You just got a good look, man. I just like how you look. No, they're not giving. No. You know, the borrower is subject to the lender. The borrower is slave, the Bible says, to the lender. They're not doing you a favor. They want all your extra income. So they're going to tantalize whatever it is in front of you, and they're going to say, oh, and watch this. And when you get to the line, they're going to say, hey, would you like, you'll get a $25 discount if you take our Target credit card. Listen, you think these people haven't thought this through? You think they're looking to give away $25? They know in a course of 5 years, they're going to make $500 off you in just interest payments alone. You know that that's how they work? That's what they're thinking? But see, if you start to envision, wow, wouldn't it be better if I didn't have that 300, 400, 800, you know what, payments, if I didn't have all that, and I, wow, what could I do with that money? Wow, maybe I could be more generous. Maybe I could buy some nice things, you know what, for my husband, for my wife, for my kids. Maybe I would sleep a lot better at night. Just going, wow, it's just like, listen, you get out of debt, it feels good. Amen? But what will happen is once you get that vision, you'll free yourself up. Amen. And you will restrain yourself. So you know what? The vision is absolutely critical. Can I show you another passage? This is all throughout the Bible. Look at this. Timothy says it. Paul writes Timothy. He says it in a different way. He says this. This charge I commend to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies. What's prophecy? Prophecy is Timothy was prophetically spoken over vision of what his life was going to be. That's vision. Do you understand this? And Paul says, listen, by this prophetic, you're going to, watch this, the prophecies previously concerning you, that by them, why by what them, the prophecies, you might wage a good warfare. You would be able to restrain yourself, understanding that you have been called to be a minister of God, so you need to make sure that you are not doing, you know what, hanging out with this group of people. Amen. You have to make sure that you're studying the Word of God. You have to make sure you're spending time in prayer. You can't just be golfing all the time, Timothy. And if you understand your vision, if you understand your prophetic calling, then you will exercise restraint. Say the vision is key to me walking in what God has called me to do. So I felt like, you know what, I felt like I weighed too much. Nobody say amen to this. So when I would get on the scale, and when I would get on the scale, I would see this crazy number down there. Hey, Pastor, what would you do? I'd take this 1 foot and I'd put it over there. Ah. Why? Because when I took the 1 foot and put it off the scale, I lost about 30 pounds. Amen. Can you say amen to this? And now I'm looking at the scale and I'm seeing what I want to see. And when I saw that, it helped me to be restrained. Oh my goodness. My wife's boss is such a nice man. How big is that box of candy we get every year? 5 pounds. How many know what? Oh, and a 2-pounder. Amen. He gives us 7 pounds of candy. Thank you. Not candy. See's candy. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Have you ever had See's candy? I'm telling you what, it's so quality. Talk about quality food. That is a quality food. Amen. And when I'm making a point, but you know what? When I saw the goal of boom, I see how much I want to weigh. Guess what? It causes me restraint. And that 5-pound box was right when I go to the garage, when I go through the kitchen, right on that left hand side. And I exercise restraint every time I walked by it. Restraint. 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 C- Come on, honey, testify. Is this not true? Okay. I cannot tell a lie. When the box was almost empty, I think I felt like, I got to get something out of this box. When the box was almost empty, somebody had eaten a half of a bite, and praise God, they didn't like it because I liked that kind. It was chocolate on chocolate, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Here's my point. My point is, guys, catch the vision. Stop thinking you have to hold. Stop thinking, no, I can't. Stop thinking because you blew it last year and the year before and the yet. Stop thinking that. Allow yourself to dream. Because if you get the vision, it will help you accomplish the goal. But without the vision, you know what? You're going to perish. You're going to die. And that dream is going to die in you. And you will never have accomplished. You know what? When I get to heaven, I want God to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I called you to do some things, and you accomplished that. And it's the vision. You know what? It's the dreaming. And we're so beaten down, so beaten down, so beaten down. We're told, you know what, you can't because you're too old, you're too young, you're too Hispanic. You know what, you don't have enough hair, you have too much hair. Your hair needs to be straight, you need to be taller, you need to be shorter, you need to be all this. And you know what, it doesn't, you know what, you think, listen, you think God has built you, and you, let me tell you, Carlos, God has designed you perfectly to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. Does that make sense? And you're no different. You know what? The thing, you know what? People get on me because I laugh at my jokes. I like to laugh at my jokes. Amen? Larry, I like to laugh at my jokes. Amen? I'm a funny guy, and whether you recognize I'm funny or not, I'm hysterical. Amen? Amen? Amen. I like my jokes. You know what I mean? You know what? I don't care. You know, party for one. Praise God. Well, at least I'm having a party. Amen. You don't want to join my party? Fine. I'm good with that. But you ain't going to, you know what? You ain't going to get me not to enjoy my party. I'm going to have a party of one. I'm funny. If you don't think I'm funny, take your whiny self, you know. Amen. No, really. Amen. And see, you've got to have that kind of attitude. Because let me tell you what. What you've called to do, God has made you perfect. You think God, you know what, made you that way and then you know, has a calling in your life, but hasn't put inside you what you need to fulfill that calling? Amen. You know what? I'm called to be a preacher. Amen. Right? I'm called to be a preacher. Amen. I remember I was at Newport Beach. You know what? Just got out of the, you know, God, I mean, I went to church. I love God and all that. Well, I'm only going to be a pastor. You know, my dad was a pastor. You know what I mean? I don't want to be a pastor. You know what I mean? And I remember sitting on the shore, and I will never forget this. And my one of my best friends, Bill Bear, you know what? And he started asking me some questions. And from inside me, rivers of life came out of me. I started answering these questions. It was like boom, boom, boom. I was just flowing. Amen. I was like, man, listen to me. This is going to sound egotistical, but listen to this whole thing. I sat on that shoreline, and I thought, man, those are some great answers you're coming up with. You know what I recognize? I recognize that ain't you, Drew. That's this person inside you that God has put in there. You have the ability to do that. I wasn't confident. I didn't get up, ooh, you know, Bill Bear, I'm called to preach. No, I was like, you know what I mean? I was like, where did that was, you know, here's the revelation. I was like, that was weird. That was weird. That was really weird. But then I went to Life Bible College, and my sophomore year, you know, it wasn't even a preaching class. I was just asked to speak a little bit on Hosea. And I got up there, and the same thing happened. I just started just talking. I was like, wow. I sat down. I thought, oh, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And I had like five other students come to me and say, wow, Drew, that was really good. You really blessed me. See, what happened there? What's going on? God put that inside me. And the visions and the dreams that you have. Listen, we have been so beaten down by our society. Some of your friends, some of your neighbors, some of even your parents have beat you down. I'm not trying to be negative about your parents. I'm just saying. But God has called you to greatness. But you got to allow yourself to dream. Because those dreams, if Satan wants to steal something, he wants to steal your dream. Because if he steals your dream, you'll just will have no restraint. You'll just do whatever, say whatever. You know what? And you'll live a sloppy life. And you'll never accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. And let me remind you, as you think, oh, yeah, I don't want to be restrained. I want to do whatever. You know, you tell me last time your flesh ever told you something good. Let me tell you what, your flesh, how many of you recognize your flesh going to get you in a bunch of trouble? Come on, raise your hand if you know that's true. I'll tell you what, it's absolutely true. Flesh will get you. You know what, your flesh, oh, my goodness. Okay, moving right along. Okay, point two, you know what? Point one, dream. Allow yourself to dream. Just as far as what would be better in 2018 versus 2019. Just allow yourself to dream. Now, let me give you some practical things. Number one, break it down. You know what? Take smaller bites. Somebody say, take smaller bites. Let me illustrate. When I worked in the grocery store, you know what? In Newport Beach, I was on night crew. And I had to be there at 10:30. And you know what? So I'd get there at 10:30 and I'd walk into the back room. And the back room was probably about twice as big as this auditorium and had about sometimes 30-something pallets in the back room. So when you walked in the back room, you could, you know, you were walking, you know, the whole room was just filled with pallets of food, which five guys had to put up all that food in 8 hours. And I remember walking back there and seeing the pallets of food and just literally getting emotionally wanting to cry. Here's why. Because it seems so astronomical of a job. So what do we do? Here's what we did. We took the pallet jacks and we started pulling the pallets out. When we pulled the pallets out into the whole grocery store, we put them in the center aisles. How many know these pallets didn't look so intimidating anymore? Is this making sense? Are you catching the vision? They didn't look so intimidating. It was just like, you know what I mean? And then what we would do, we'd start taking the boxes and we'd start sectioning them off. You know what? This is on aisle one. This is ketchup. This is mustard. This is on aisle one, two. This is, you know, whatever. We start sectioning off in these piles. And then we'd take the pallet jacks, the two-wheelers, and we'd wheel them to aisle one, aisle two, aisle three, aisle four, aisle five. Well, now all these stacks, watch this, the same amount is now all throughout the store. We, at that point, spent about 3 hours, maybe 2.5 hours, and how many know, I'm not crying anymore. Why? Because it's a doable thing. I've got 6 more hours, and all I have to do is put all my stacks in my two aisles up on the shelf, and I could do that. What I'm saying, take smaller bites. See, you look at, you think, oh, Pastor, but I've tried to get up and pray, but I always fall asleep, and I always hit this snooze button. I'm just an unrighteous sinner. Please. You know what? No, you got this. Here, have you ever thought this? Maybe if you just said this. Here, just take smaller bites. Just say this. Maybe you said, hey, and maybe you're, Pastor prays, I'm going to pray for an hour. Here, can you get up 15 minutes? Amen? Could you do, here, you want to spend some more time with God? How about this? How about instead of, you know what, going to work, listening to, you know what, play that funky music, white boy, you know what I mean? Play that funky, you know, white boy. You know, instead of that, how about this? How about just turn off the radio? How about doing this? How about just praying as you go in? Imagine this. Imagine where you would be spiritually if all you did is prayed to work and on the way home to work. Where would you be spiritually? See, just take it in smaller bites. Maybe some of you need to fast. Oh, Pastor, don't start talking about fasting. Let me tell you. You know what? You need to fast. You know, I know people that they fast. Man, they fast. You know what I mean? Here. I don't fast. Why? Because I like eating. Okay? I like eating. And Pastor, don't you fast for 3 days? Don't you fast for 2 days? Don't you fast for 4 days? Here it is, spiritual answer. Are you ready? No. What did you learn today, church? Pastor said we don't have to fast. I didn't say that. I just said, I don't fast for 4 days. You know why I don't fast for 4 days? Were you paying attention? Because I like to eat. Okay, all right. Pastor, that sounds very spiritual. Okay, wait a minute. In the morning when I wake up, for whatever reason, it's how my body works. I'm not usually hungry till 10 o'clock, sometimes not till 11 o'clock. So, you know what? I will fast. You know what I'll fast? I'll fast breakfast. Yeah, but you said you're not hungry. That don't count. It counts, amen. I fast breakfast all the time. And here's what I do. At breakfast, you know what? It's easy for me to fast breakfast. And then at lunchtime, you know what I say? I say, you know what? At lunch, I'm going to go to Tommy's. I'm going to go to In-N-Out. And if I'm still hungry, I'm going to go to Taco Bell. I'm going to do it all in less than an hour. Amen. But here's what happens. Sometimes I can say, you know what I'm going to do? I've already fast breakfast. I'm going to fast lunch. I'm not going to go to In-N-Out. I'm not going to go to Tommy's. I'm not going to go to Taco Bell. I'm going to do that for dinner. But I'm going to have twice as much for dinner. Right? Right? But sometimes I come to dinner time and I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Denny's tomorrow for breakfast. Here, can I give you a hot tip? Denny's, say what you want about Denny's. I'm telling you what, they got the best pancakes in the world. Amen. If all you get at Denny's is just their regular buttermilk pancakes, they're the best pancakes you ever had in your life. But they have, Tamara, help me out. Help me out here. But they got some pancakes, and what are those ones I like? It's got like, remember you ordered it last time, but I ate most of it? Oh, man. It's got some caramels and bananas. I'm just saying, you know, so what about, I'm gonna fast dinner, but tomorrow I'm gonna have breakfast. Now, I can't fast for 4 days, but you know what I can do? I can fast 12 meals, a meal at a time. But Pastor, that equals 4 days. A rose by any other name is what? It's still a rose. What I'm teaching you is a principle. You know what? Stop beating yourself up for not fasting 4 days. Can you fast one meal? Who can fast for one meal? Okay. Can you fast for one meal? You know what? Can you just break it down? Can you? Pastor, I'm gonna lose 30 pounds. Well, you know what? Yeah, but Pastor, I can't because I love sweets. I love sweets. I mean, did you notice? What do you think I put on those pancakes? Syrup. You know these people. Oh, you know these people. You know what they give you? They give you a little thing of syrup. You know, here you go. It's like the whole thing gets all sucked up. I mean, I need eight. Bring eight more of those. I mean, just bring me that canister of syrup, okay? I love sweets. How in the world are you going to lose weight if you love sweets? Well, can you do this? You know, I looked this up yesterday. One large Dr. Pepper. How many like Dr. Pepper? Oh, there it is. Come on. Oh, I love Dr. Pepper. Okay. One large Dr. Pepper at McDonald's. You know how much it is? 280 calories. 280. One. How many know I ain't going to McDonald's and having one thing of Dr. Pepper? Why? Because you spent, and well, why don't you get the medium? Because it's 10 more cents for the large.
You know, oh, let's see, figure this out. You know, 230 for the small, 240 for the medium, 250 for the large. I'm buying the large, amen. And not only am I buying the large, but after I drink 280 calories, you know, you think I'm going to, oh, I'm done. No, I'm going to go back to the machine. What's a ch machine? The ch machine is the free soda machine. And before, and this is a true story, and before I leave, I'm going to drink a bunch more and then get some more. This is the truth. If all you did, see, just break it down. You know what? Listen, still eat the fries. Still eat the Big Mac. Still eat the quarter pound with cheese. You don't have to do it all overnight. You don't have to, oh, here's what I'm doing. See, here's our problem. We're like, ooh, tomorrow, you know, January 1st, I'm going to eat wheatgrass. You know what? And I'm going to eat wheatgrass. And the wheatgrass is like, I ain't even wheatgrass. Could we just do this? Could we just do this? Could you eat the Big Mac? Eat the quarter pounder with cheese? Eat the fries? But what about this? What if you just said, hey, I'm just going to have some tea? You know how much calories is in tea? I think there's no calories in tea. Is this not true? Oh, there's a little bit? Unsweetened? Well, that's what I drink. What? Water or tea? I like tea. I love tea now. Water. I'm just saying, you know what, can you do that? Because watch this. If all you drink was two Dr. Peppers a day, I could do that in one sitting. Easy. If all you did is that day, that's 280 times two. You times that in a week, you know what that is? That's 3,800, almost 4,000 calories that you're going to take off, and all you had to do, and listen, all you had to do is just change your drinking habit. You see what I'm saying? See, a lot of times Satan intimidates you by, in just a example of me going in and seeing all those pallets in the back room, and you just think, I can't do this. Just take smaller bites. This right, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just take a smaller section. And why? Because you start to build and say, hey, and you get out of the I can't and you get into the I can. Amen. Does that make sense? Number one, dream. Somebody say dream.
Dream.
Number two, drink smaller bites. Eat smaller bites. Number three, this is so good. Take the trash and throw it away. Does anybody work in a place where they're negative at work? You know what I mean? I still work at Albertsons. You know, I'm walking, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? They're like, what's up? Same old. Right? Right? Does anybody work in a place like that? Matter of fact, Tamara will testify. She thought. Somebody say she thought. Somebody put their hand up and say, she was wrong. Come on, somebody put your hand up and say, she was wrong. She thought that I was fake. You know why she thought I was fake? Because I was like Mr. Mary Poppins. You know, I was like, hey, what's up? God's good. And I was like, God's good. I was like, oh, God is good. You know, and that wasn't my point. But I just came in happy. It's like, hey, what's there not to be happy about? You know what I mean? I mean, how many know you got blessings all in your life? Some of you have to recognize how blessed you are, amen? You got good things going on. Yeah, but I got bad things too. Well, I'm sorry, don't meditate on the bad things. Oh, where'd you get that? Oh, just the Bible. Amen. Just God's revelation knowledge to you. No, don't be so negative. Meditate on that which is good, amen? Well, I did that. I believe that. You know what I mean? So I'd walk in, you know, excuse me if I, you know what, got some chip in my step. You know what I mean? And she think, and you know what she said? She said, hey, I don't know how it can be always so happy. You know, she thought that was fake. You know what? She found out that wasn't fake. That was Jesus. That's what that was. Amen? The more God you have in your life, the better your life is going to be. And so, you know what? And so, but here's the thing. There's negative people all around us.
You know, our house, you know what, I revealed this to the first congregation. I definitely want to reveal it to the second congregation. I'll come on over here next to my wife and preach this. But you know why our house is so nice? Our house is nice. You know why our house is, thank you for asking. You know why our house is so nice? Because of me. Amen. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, this is the truth. You say, those are fighting words. No, they're not. She'll tell you. This is absolutely the truth. Because let me tell you what. Thank you, Richard. Because every day, you know what I do? I empty the trash. Amen. And if I didn't empty the trash, our house would be a stinky mess. Amen. Our house is beautiful because of me. Now, I didn't say it is just because of me. How many know Tamara helps me a lot? She has made, she's a wonderful decorator. She's absolutely talented. She has made our house so beautiful. But guess what? Our house is also beautiful because of me. And let me tell you about your life. Your life will be beautiful when you start to take out the trash. There's people around you and they want to dump on you. You can't. It won't ever happen. It won't ever work. You can't do it because you're too young. You're too old. I remember Satan told me, I was 28 years old when I was a freshman at Life Bible College. I remember being in Newport Beach looking at UCI students, you know what? They used to write a check for a pack of gum. Is this not true? A pack of gum, they would write a check. With the check, they would have to show me their ID. In their ID, their school ID, I would see, because they had new two forms of ID, their driver's license, I'd see how old they were, or I'd see how young they were, and then I'd see their student ID, and they were a senior at UCI. Wow. And they'd be like 21 years old. And Satan used that to say, you know what, Drew, you're 27, and you're a failure. We're going to talk about this next year too. We're going to talk about this next week, how Satan will use this stuff to beat you down. Don't miss next week. But I'm telling you, listen to me, he'd use that stuff and say, you're a failure because you're 28 years old and you're still a freshman. And then I went to Life Bible College, and the truth was, I went to night school too. I went day school and night school. But in the day school, all the kids were 17 and 18 and 19 years old. And I you know what, I was 27 and I felt like a complete failure. Can I tell you what? I needed to learn to take out the trash. Because your house, if you don't take out the trash, it'll be filled with junk and it will stink. Some of you, you know what? Your life is a mess because you've forgotten to take out the trash. And you might have even people that have been in your family and they have told you you can't, it won't. Many times, that's exactly who tells you these things. And I'm not trying to be negative towards your family because we love our family, but we've got to recognize that's trash. That's not what God says about us. God says that with him, all things are possible. God says that his plans for us are for great things. Not for a ruin, but for a hope and a future. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, you know what, that we are to take every thought captive, watch this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his word, the knowledge that says, with me, all things are possible. And you've got to take that crazy thinking and say, stop it. That's not true. With God, all things are possible. You know, there was a time, and everybody, oh, you can't, it's impossible. There's people who said it's impossible to break a 4-minute mile. You can't physically do it. You know, in 1984, we had a president. His name was Ronald Reagan. I don't like Ronald Reagan. I'm not talking about whether you liked him or not. Just listen to the story, okay? Ronald Reagan, you know what, said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to, you know what, prevent any missiles from coming into our country. Well, how are you going to do it? And they said he was crazy. They thought he was old. They thought he was losing his mind, is what they thought. They thought he was crazy. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by creating this system. And before the missiles ever get into the United States, we're going to shoot them down. We're going to shoot them down in midair. We're going to shoot a bullet with a bullet. And they said, oh my goodness, this guy's crazy. And they, to mock him, labeled it Star Wars. You know what's so ironic? In that same century, people said that we couldn't walk on the moon, and we walked on the moon. People said that we couldn't break an atom, and we broke an atom. And then Reagan saying, here's what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get a bunch of smart people to figure out, and we're going to shoot these missiles down before they ever get to us. And guess what? And years later, you know what? His predecessor, Bush, stood there as they took down the Berlin Wall. And anybody who knew anything about history knew exactly why they took down the Berlin Wall. They took the Berlin Wall down because, you know what? Because of Star Wars. He said, what did that have anything to do with that? It had everything to do with that. Because Russia could not, the Soviet Union could not keep up with the economic pace that was taking place. And they spent all their money and all their money and all their money, and their people were going broke, and eventually they crumbled from the inside out. You want to thank somebody? You thank somebody who had a willingness to see something that other people couldn't see. Listen, they're going to mock. They mocked him. They're going to mock you. And even family members. Here. Do what I do every day. Take the trash. Take the junk. Take the stink. Pick it up. Carry it outside of your house and dump it outside where you can't smell it no more. Amen. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? Are you learning something? Somebody say dream. Somebody say take small bites. Somebody say empty the trash. Okay. And we'll just stop here today. But number four, stop thinking you have to accomplish this by yourself. See, you get intimidated because you think, oh, I got to figure it out all yourself. And here's the truth. You're not called to figure it out all yourself. You don't have to figure it out all yourself. I was learning of Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc was the, not the founder of McDonald's, but he was the founder of the franchise of McDonald's. And Ray Kroc had 14 franchises. By many people, they would say, you're so successful. But at that point in time, he had mortgaged his house. He was in the third month of them asking, you know what, that he couldn't make even the mortgage payments back to his house. They called his house. His wife answered. Oh, he forgot to tell his wife that they mortgaged his house. Obviously, his wife was upset. He goes into the bank, and he's pounding at the desk of one of the bankers, saying, you had no right. You had no right. You had no right to call my home. You can get a hold of me in my business, but you can't get a hold of me at home. You had no right to do that. And the banker said, when you missed your third payment, we have every right to get a hold of you wherever we can find you. In this conversation, there was another accountant. You don't have to do it alone. I know that word. I was just trying to illustrate. Whatever. There was another man who knew numbers, and he overheard the conversation. He followed Ray Kroc outside. He gives Ray Kroc his business card and says, you know what, here you go. Ray Kroc turns around and says, can I help you? And this man says, no, I don't think you can help me, but I think I can help you. Ray Kroc he sat down and had a meeting with this man, and this meeting man talked to him about the business, and he said, tell me about the real estate aspect of it. How do you get this going? He said, well, the franchise finds a place, and they make a contract, a 20-year lease contract with the realtor, with whoever owns that property, and then they borrow the building money, and boom, and I teach them and train them, and you're set. He says this. He says, Mr. Kroc, here's your problem. The problem is you don't know what business you're in. You think you're in the hamburger business, but you're really in the real estate business. That day changed his life. Because somebody else could see something that he couldn't see. You know what Ray Kroc had right underneath his feet? He had an empire. What did he start to do? He started to buy the property. Then he leased that property out, 20-year leases, to a tenant who's going to build and won't move for 20 years. How many know this is a formula to be a very, very rich man? And then later on, they were able to sell their franchises for $1 million, and he made a lot more money. But way back then, he wasn't making money from the franchises. He was making money from the real estate. He became very, very rich. We have a person right now in our congregation. She got her education. She got her master's. She was her heart was to train teachers and staff members, school staff members, how to serve specifically special needs kids better. She got a job, and she became very frustrating because it seemed like the administrators really didn't care about the kids. They really didn't care about training the kids. She left that job, got another job that was more bureaucratic, that it seemed like they didn't care even more. She left that job and started interviewing. And she said she went to interview after interview after interview. And time after time, they said, oh, you almost were our choice, but you are second. Her sister, during this whole time of understanding what she really wanted to do, said to her, you know what, Mickey? Why don't you go in for business for yourself and start making videos? You can put them on the internet now, because these teachers have to be trained. They have to go through training. It's mandated. They have to go through training. But you could sell these training sessions to the districts, and they could give them to the teachers. The teachers don't have to get in a car. The teachers don't have to travel to another city. They don't have to spend money for a hotel. They don't have to do any of that. And you can not only train, you can train not 10 people, you can train 100 people, and eventually you can train 1,000 people and only have to do it one time. Her sister kept on saying, Mickey, this is what you should do. And she said, no, 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 no. I talked to you yesterday, and she gave me permission to tell you this story. She said, you know what? If it wasn't for my sister and the Holy Spirit. See, you think you have to do it alone. Stop thinking that. The Bible says, Jesus said, you know what? It's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit's called? Somebody say the helper. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. You know who else in the Bible is called the helper? You know who else is called the helper? Your wife. See, how many know men? Can I preach to the men for a minute? You know, it's funny. I'll tell you a story about John Bevere. John Bevere says this publicly, so I'll share it publicly. He says, you know what? I used to get so mad because I'd get up in the morning, I'd pray. I was such a spiritual man. My wife would get up late, and she'd just take a shower. And he said, at some point in time, I recognized half of the genius in me and my wife is in her. But I couldn't figure out, because I was the one who was praying. He said, and then I recognized she'd just get in the shower and speak in tongues and sing, you know, the Lord, and you know what I mean? But see, I didn't see that as spiritual. You know, she'd just taken a shower. Hello? See, how many recognize sometimes we have that which is blessing us right in front of us? Sometimes you'll have a boss, and the boss will, watch this, the boss will be kind of an idiot. Hello? Am I the only one who didn't have any idiot bosses? Okay. But you know, I learned some great things from idiot bosses. See, here's the question. Are you humble enough to learn from anybody? Amen? Pastor, but Pastor, you can't even read. You know, I see you get up there, you're trying to read the scripture, you're like, man, get it all, and then you don't even know what you're saying, you just kind of, blah, 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 you know what, and you just, it's like, that's not what it even says, you know what I mean? Look at your neighbor and say, you can learn from anybody. I know you can learn from anybody. And here's what I'm saying. You know what? You need to get, because watch this. As long as you're, I'm going to figure it out myself. You know what? You're not going to figure. You know what that is? That's pride. And here's what the Bible says. God resists the proud. Number one, can we dream? Would you allow yourself to start to think what could happen that could be different in 2018 or 2019 than was 2018? Could you dream with me just for a minute? Could you break it down and not recognize you don't have to eat the whole enchilada? Ooh, that's funny, huh? You don't have to eat the whole enchilada. Just break it down, amen? Could you recognize that you cannot allow, you know what, that trash to stay in your life or your mind? And finally, can you recognize you don't have to do this alone? Tamara and I are with you. We'll help you. Carlos is with you, amen? Carlos' daughter's with you, amen? Amen. George is with you. You know what? Isaac is with you. Connie's with you. Fernando's with you. So you're not in this thing alone. You have the Holy Spirit with you. Amen. Can we resolve that we're going to make some resolutions? Amen. And I had one more point. And then this, finally. You know what? And if you fall, I wrote this in my notes, if you fall, and then I crossed that out, and I put this, I wrote, when you fall. How many of all of us are going to fall? When you fall, recognize, all you have to do is get back up again. That's all you have to do. You listen, what stock goes up perfectly? There's no stock goes up perfectly. It goes up, then it drops down, it goes up, drops down, goes up, drops down. You know what I mean? What life runs perfectly? What commandment of God have you been given that you didn't back up a little bit sometimes? Listen, we've all fallen. And you know what? And you're probably not going to make a resolution and do it perfectly. So what if you're over and eating 4 jelly-full donuts? You know what I mean? So what? Amen? Wipe the glaze off your mouth. You know what? And go home and eat some broccoli. Amen? Can you say amen? And just recognize you don't have to do it perfectly. You know, last year you had 4 jelly funnel donuts 3 times a week. At least you're doing it twice this time. Do you understand? See, don't beat your, we'll talk about it next week. Don't allow Satan to beat yourself up. Just dust yourself up and recognize God is for you. He's not against you. Has somebody learned something today? Okay, so before Tammy's going to come in a minute, but here's your assignment. Say, I got homework today. Here's your homework. You know what? Allow yourself to dream. I want you to write down. Not, oh, I got it. No, write it down. I want you to write down what your resolution next week is going to be. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Get home, write it down. And then put it in somewhere where you know where it is, okay? Okay, what's your assignment? Go home, write down your resolution, what you want to be different. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. You know, oh, I just want to lose 5 pounds, whatever. Oh, I want to become mayor of Pico Rivera. Praise God, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You know what I mean? Hey, maybe you are called to be the next mayor of Pico Rivera, amen? Maybe you're called to be the next, you know what, senator or congressman. You know what? Stop thinking you can't. Just allow the Holy Spirit to drop it in your spirit and write it down. Amen? That's your homework. Sweetie?
I want to, that time with Mickey, and she was in the first service, she's not here right now, but I remember that time vividly. I'll never forget it. I've walked my own journey with God as he's doing some stuff in my life, and just watch what he does and how he does it. And it's so exciting if we'll just keep our eyes on God and trust God and know that whatever the circumstances are that we're walking out, he's got this. And she was, we'd done a few journeys with her on some of her jobs. And on this particular one, I remember telling her, because she would interview and get turned down. She'd interview and get turned down. She was like such a shoe-in, and she would get turned down. She was overqualified. You know, some boss that used to work with her called her, and this was just such a shoe-in. You know what I mean? He just loved her. And she was just kind of going through the process, and she'd get turned down. And I remember meeting with her, and we were talking about it and how things were going. And she said this. She said, she giggled, she laughed, and she said, I don't know what God's doing, but I'm just trusting him. I don't understand this, but I'm just trusting him. Now, she's supporting her son by herself. These are not laughable times. Do you understand that? It's a big deal that she didn't have a job. You know, this was not a cakewalk. This was someone who knew God and knew that he was a good God and didn't let the circumstances around her dictate her attitude, her future, her self-worth. She just wasn't, you know what? God's got this. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. God knows I'm supporting my son. It's so great to sit down and listen to Ray Kroc's testimony and Thomas Edison's testimony and these great success stories, but even to just look at Hope's success story of what it was and what it is. It's like, wow, that didn't just happen. Do you understand that? That was blood, sweat, and tears made that happen. With God leading and us obeying. And it's great to turn around and look and go, oh, wow, look at that, God. But it doesn't feel like that in the moment. When, you know what I'm saying? When you have no idea. When you can't buy a paperclip. When everything that we printed on blue paper, because there were reams and reams and reams of blue paper for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Someone donated it or what? I don't know. All I know is we had tons of paper. So everything was on blue paper. It's harder to see what you sit in that moment. Do you understand that? The only way you can see it is if you keep your eyes on God. I'll never forget, God said to me one time, Pastor Drew and I were early on in our marriage, and the pastor's wife at our church, because he was on staff and I was his wife, all of a sudden I needed to go to the women's meetings because you're Drew's wife. So that was my qualifier. I'm Drew's wife, therefore I belong there. Okay? You know what I mean? So there I am. And I'll never forget. And we would talk and different things around the table and whatever. And then what she said to me one day, she said, you know, Tamara, I want you to teach that class. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this lady has no idea. I didn't grow up in church. I'm not like Drew. My dad wasn't a pastor. You know what? That's not me. I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. I went home that day and I was just freaked out. I told him, she asked me to do this, and I can't do that. She thinks I'm a teacher just because, I don't know, why is I married to you? All those people, when I was going to marry him, thought I was a piano player. I'm not a piano player. I'm not a singer. I'm not an organ player, and I'm not a teacher. I can't do this. She's got this, and what am I going to do now? And Pastor Drew, you know, helpful as always, just said, you should do it. You can do this. You know, walked out or something. I was like, what the heck? And I'm laying there on the bed, and here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Never will forget it. Never will forget it. He said, Tamara, you need to begin to see yourself through my eyes. I see you way differently. Still left me very unqualified in my own mind, you know what I mean? But I taught that class. I did that class. God walked me through that. And people loved that class. And that class was eye-opening to me even. It was like, wow, this is a great class. You can say that when you know that it's just God that you're depending on. Do you understand? We have to keep our eyes on God and know God sees us way differently than we see ourselves. We have to be so careful. You know what? That we make sure that we're getting the blueprints from God. Because if we weren't getting the blueprints from God, I wouldn't know any of you. We wouldn't be here. This place probably wouldn't be here. They were going to sell it. And I don't know that it would have stayed a church. This could be, I don't know, a big Walmart here on this corner or something. That's not what our community needs. But it took just a strong focus of saying, okay, God, you're in charge. If you say this thing's gonna happen, then it's gonna happen. There was 15 people here. Big facility, but it was a big mess. You remember, Carlos, huh? It was a big mess. We worked all the time. You know what? Trying to clean it all up. But that's not what it is today. Because God's in charge. God is God, and we could have never done this without him. And whatever he's asking you to do, you can't do it without him. And he'll amaze you if you'll let him. I was so proud of Mickey because she never, and I'm not saying if she were standing next to me right now, she'd say, well, there was a few times on my bed I totally broke down and cried. Well, I'm sure. We all do, right? I'm sure. There's these moments. But she always resolved, no, God's got this. You know what I mean? He's got this. I can trust God. And ask her how she feels about that journey today. She's so happy. I mean, God was trying to do something. Every interview that she went to and got turned down, we talk about this all the time, God. We talk about this all the time, guys. God is a good God. And he always has your back. Always. For you. Never against you. And so she'd go into, if she'd have left those interviews, and we all have these opportunities, if she'd have left those interviews and said, God, you know what I mean? I tie and I do this and I do that, and every job I'm getting turned down. She could have done that. People do it all the time. You talk to them and I talk to them all the time. She could have done that. Would she have what she has today if she did? Because now she's not driving into work every day. She's running her own business. It's a very lucrative business. She's got freedom to do what she wants, when she wants. She's helping her dream of really being able to make a difference is taking place. You know what? At a greater speed than it ever has. People are just blessed to be able to, just the venue that she provides for them. You know what? I love like online school. I think that's the best thing. I used to hate going to the college, parking my car, getting my parking sticker. You know what I mean? It's a big job and you barely got in the door. Forget about the homework and the assignment and the lecture and all of that. How awesome to flip on the computer and start your course. Just the ease of that. And these people, most of the people taking her stuff, they're all working full-time jobs already, and they got families and everything else. What a gift this has been, not only to her, but to many. And God is the one who orchestrated all that. And Mickey is the one who trusted God and said, God, I don't know what you're up to, but I know it's going to be good. That's what she used to tell me all the time. But I know it's going to be good. And he always exceeds what we even think. That's been my experience. As good as you think you can dream it, believe me, he's trying to do it 10 times better. And he just needs you to trust him and obey him. It's probably where they got that little hymn from, huh? Trust and obey. To the Baptist boy on the front row. Yeah, I know you will, so we're good. All right, so keep your eyes on Jesus, amen? He's a good God. He's got this.